I've got some wonderful, wonderful faces in the crowd this morning. But you know what? There's no face as beautiful as Jesus, is it? Do you agree? This morning, let's turn ours to Him and let's look to Him. And He's amazing, He's wonderful, He's good. He's the source of all your help, of all your strength, of everything that you're going through right now. I'm sure some of you have had tough weeks. Some of us have just looked at how tough things are going in our nation. There's all kinds of stuff that's happening that could sway us and throw us and wonder what to do next. Amen. Anybody ever had that feeling? Have you had that feeling this week in any way? If you have. If you haven't, you've been looking at Jesus. If you have, this morning we're going to look to Jesus. We're going to put our attention and our focus on Him. And there's nothing more wonderful than worship. And worship is not just music to make us do something. Worship is declaring the beauty of God. So when the music starts this morning, the music is not to try and get you into some kind of attitude. You should be in an attitude of dependence on God anyway. But the worship reminds us that God is faithful, that we can trust Him, that we can look to Him. And so when we're singing, we're really lifting up His name for all the goodness that He's done and that He can do and that He will always do. Amen. Are you with me? This is interactive. Won't you stand? Stand, please, and let's worship Him. God, this morning, we thank You for the privilege and the wonderful, the beauty of coming before You, our God who is true and real and powerful. And Lord, You are victorious in every way. There is no enemy that You've not defeated. There's nothing on all this earth that can separate us from Your love and Your work for us. And so this morning, God, we want to run into all that You've done for us. Amen. We want to just embrace who You are and what You do and how good You are. And I pray for this, Lord. Whether we stomp our feet, clap our hands, roll on the floor, whatever it is, oh God, let us just be in awe of You, Amen. Jesus, in Your wonderful name. Amen.
Doors that they go to sing, let the streets resound with singing. Did you feel the mountains tremble? Did you hear the singers roar? The people rose to sing of Jesus Christ, the saving one. And did you feel the people tremble? Did you hear the singers roar? When the lost began to sing of Jesus Christ, the saving one. That God, You're moving a mighty river through the nation. Young and old will turn to Jesus. Bring God to heavenly gates. Joined in one song, and all the streams flow as one river to wash away our broken heart. And we can see that God is moving. A time of jubilee is coming. The young and old return to Jesus. Heavenly gate, oceans roared, when the lost began to sing of Jesus Christ, the risen one. And we can see that God, you're moving. A time of jubilee is coming. When young and old return to Jesus, bring wide you heavenly gates. Prepare the way of the risen Lord. Open up your doors and let the music play. Let the seas resound with singing. Song that brings your hope and song that roar, when the people rose to sing of Jesus Christ, the saving feels dry. This is my prayer and my hunger and need. My God is the God who provides. And this is my prayer in the fire, in weakness or trial or pain. There is a faith fruit of more worth than gold, so refine me, Lord, through the flame. I will bring praise, I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice and I will declare, God is my victory and He is here. He is here. And this is my prayer in the battle, when triumph is still on its way. Conquer and co-heir with Christ, so firm on His promise I stand. I will bring praise, I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice and I will declare, God is my victory and He is here. Worship. All of my life, in every season, you are still God. I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship. Oh yeah. All of my life, in every season, you are still God. I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship. So I will bring praise. I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice. seeds I will sow.
Worthy is the King who
conquered the grave.
God, you are worthy.
Worthy is the man who was slain. You are worthy, worthy, worthy is amazing grace. This is amazing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Church, Paul the Apostle said this: I will determine to boast in nothing else except Jesus Christ. My boast is in Jesus. So, amen. Together with that, allow me to boast a bit in my God. In Psalm 86, it says this: Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made, they will come and they will worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name. For you are great and you do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. So teach me your ways, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. For I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love towards me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. Father, together and continually, we're going to continue with this song. But our boast is in Jesus Christ. Our boast is in Him. He is the one who is above all. He is the one. There is no one like Him. He has saved us. Through His righteous deeds, He has saved us. So, Father, we boast in You, Lord. There is nothing within us that we can boast of ourselves, but a gracious and a loving God who loved us, who is all powerful, who is all holy. You have extended Your love towards us. And, Lord God, You have redeemed us. You have bought us with a price. You have adopted us into your family. Lord, we boast in that. We boast that once we were not a people, but now through Jesus Christ, we have been welcomed. We have an inheritance, Lord God, above all else. Our boast is in you, Jesus. We love you, Father.
What are the king leaves his throne?
Oh, Lord Jesus, I just want to share Romans 8. It says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's people? It's God who justifies us. Who will condemn us? Christ died for us. More than that, who was raised and is at the right hand of God and is indeed interceding for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or things going on in our nation or things going on in your job or things going on in your family or things going on in your body? None of these things, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us.
Glory!
For I'm sure of this, that neither death nor life, no angel, no ruler, no nothing in all this age, no power, no height, no depth, or anything else in creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Mighty is the one. Mighty is the Lamb who was slain. Mighty.
Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Let's sing mighty, mighty, mighty Lord.
Mighty is the King who conquered the grave.
Mighty is the Lamb who was slain.
Mighty Lord, you're so mighty.
Mighty is the King who conquered the grave. Mighty is the Lamb that was slain. You are mighty, mighty, mighty is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me, all that you've done for me. All that you've done. done for me. All that you've done for me. What other king leaves his throne? What other king leaves his throne? What other king leaves his glory to find us? His glory to find us. Yeah.
Jesus.
This is amazing grace.
Jesus, we love.
This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You will lay down your life. That I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy, 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 worthy.
We worship you, Lord. We glorify your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. You're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Hallelujah, Lord. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Though creation I sing praise to the King of Kings, you are my everything, and I will adore you. Floating rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Yeah. Adore you, Lord.
We adore you. We adore you, Jesus. Yeah.
We love you. We love you. We love you, Lord.
Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. filled with wonder, awe-struck wonder at the mention of your name. Filled with wonder, awe-struck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, bread, the living water, such a marvelous mystery. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. We adore you, Jesus. We adore you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. You're Lord of all. You're Lord of all. King who was, and King who is to come, yeah. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Mighty Father, yeah. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus.
Guys, in times like this in worship, the aim is for you to connect with God. The aim is that God wants to be with you and upon you right now. When we have moments like this in worship, I want to just teach us something. I want to train us how to respond. That in times like this of worship, it's not waiting for the song to end. It's not waiting for us to go to the next thing. This is a time where you can allow your heart to be saturated with the love of God. In these times, when we come to the ends of the words, it's not the end of the worship, because at the end of the words is our heart still. And let's allow our hearts and our arms, and just raise up, if you want to, just lift up your arms to Him even now. And folk, whenever we're in worship, that's exactly what it is. Hallelujah. It's worship. It's Him. It's adoring Him. It's loving Him. It's wanting to receive more of His presence. Folk, Jesus is here right now. His Spirit is here right now. Let Him touch you. Let Him fill you. Let Him cover you like a cloak. Let Him wash over you like a waterfall. Let Him fill your heart. Let Him bring His warmth and His love and His grace. In times of worship, you can tell Him how much you love Him, how much you care for Him. He sees you. He knows you. The prophetic words that are coming here are true for you. They are for you. God is for you. You can love Him and adore Him. There's no other place on the face of the planet right now for you to meet with God than right here. And so right now, let it count. Right here, let it count. Let Him come. Open up your heart. Surrender your life. Open up the areas that are broken, that are hurting, the things that you feel ashamed about, the things that you feel guilty about. Let Him come and dissolve it. Let Him come and wipe it away. Let Him make you as white as snow. That's what we're doing. That's what we want you to encounter. We're going to have another song, folk. And this song is about the awe of God. I didn't want to interject into the worship because I want us just to worship. But I need to teach you how to worship. Because it's about allowing God to break through and consume every part.
Break through, Jesus.
We stand in awe. We stand in awe, beautiful Jesus.
No other name but the name of Jesus.
We stand in awe, of you, Jesus.
Glory,
mighty to save, you're mighty to save, my Jesus. My Jesus, you're mighty to save, mighty to save, mighty to save. You are my Jesus. You are my Jesus, and I stand in awe of you, Jesus. Stand in awe of you, Jesus. My words escape, my words escape. My heart is open, Jesus. Heart is open. We love you, Jesus. All glory and honor and power to your mighty, mighty name. So, what do you do when you're lost for words or fall short? So I stand in awe. I stand in awe of you. Melodies come and go, you remain. So we stand in awe. We stand in awe of you. You reign forever and hold me together and come. Whatever you love me, you reign forever and hold. Me together, so come. Whatever I left you. What do you do when God forgets, gives His life so you can live in awe? We live in awe of you. Melodies come and go, you remain. So we stand in awe. We stand in awe of you. 'Cause you reign forever and hold me together and come. Whatever you love me, you reign forever and hold. Whatever I love you, you reign forever and hold me together and come. Whatever you love me, you reign forever and hold me together. So come. Whenever I love you. Cause you reign forever and all. Meet together and come. Whatever you love me. You reign forever and all. Meet together and come. Whatever I love you. I'll sing forever, I'll sing forever, I'll sing forever, I love you. I'll sing forever, I'll sing forever, I'll sing forever, I love you. I'll sing my way through every storm, my way through every trial, forever I'll sing. I'll sing my way through every storm, my way through every trial, forever I'll sing.
Worshipping a little earlier, I just smelled this incredible fragrance in the air, and I looked around, and I don't wear perfume. My friends around me don't wear perfume, and I really felt that as our worship is coming up into the throne of heaven, he receives that as an incense which he had in the tabernacle. So I think God is really pleased with our worship. He loves it when we worship him. And that beautiful fragrance rises into his throne. So God loves the worship.
I'll sing forever, I'll sing forever, I'll sing forever, I love you. I'll sing forever, I'll sing forever, I'll sing forever, I love you. I'll sing forever, I'll sing forever, I'll sing forever, I love you. I'll sing forever, I'll sing forever, I'll sing. Forever I love you,
holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of your glory. I love you, Lord. I love you with all of my heart. My Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Hallelujah.
I lift my eyes to the hills. I lift my eyes to the hill of Gethsemane. I lift my eyes to the hill of Golgotha. To the hill of Calvary. I lift my eyes. Wow. That's where my help comes from.
Amen.
It comes from the Lord my God.
Hallelujah.
Who made the heavens and the earth. I'll not want. He's my shepherd. He's my king. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. He will not suffer my foot to be moved. He who keeps me will not slumber. He who keeps me will lead me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's just a shadow. And the sun is above me. And when the sun is above me, there is no shadow. There's no shadow of doubts, of fear. He's my God. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. His rod and his staff, they will comfort me. Wherever I go, the sun is there, the sun of righteousness, who comes with healing in his wings. He's my God. He's my King. He's my Lord. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down. Yes, he does. But it's pastures green and it's still waters. He makes me to lie down. But he's prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemy. He anoints my head with oil and my cup overflows. Surely, surely, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord from this time forth and even forevermore. He who dwells in the secret places of the Most High shall abide under the wings of the Almighty God. He will cover him with his shadow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Church, we'll never get tired of saying, Jesus, we love you.
Amen. Yes.
We'll never tire of this, Lord. We've seen you this morning in a light, Lord God, that is so beautiful. High and lifted up. Holy. Awesome are you in power and deed. Yet you have said, I call you friends. Man. The marvel of your salvation, the wonder of your covenant with us, it's mind-blowing, Lord. A grace so scandalous, a grace so beautiful. Lord, you hold us together. Man, we'll never tire of saying, we love you. We love you. We want to continue our worship. You know, church, what a beautiful, when we understand that worship is about Him and to Him and for Him, I tell you what, such grace, this is the thing, such grace comes to us when we give to Him. And we've sensed that this morning, but Lord, we want to continue giving you our praise, our adoration. Abba, Father, we adore you. And in this time, you know, a lot of people ask, why do you receive tithes and offerings during worship? Because it is a continuation of our worship. When we take of what we have and we say to our Father, Lord, all that we have received is not through the might of our labor, not through our intellect, not through our ability. In that we cannot boast. But when we say all that we have received comes from a loving Father, who has given graciously towards us. And humbly we say, Lord God, we release to you, because we understand that you are our source, you are the one who loves us. And Father, what a small gesture of saying thank you. Take the seed, Lord God, and multiply it. Lord, when we understand it is far better to give than it is to receive. And as we give, Lord God, this is the marvel of your grace. We receive in such abundance. Mercy and honor from you, Lord. So please, let us receive the tithes and offerings. And I want to encourage, what a wonderful time. What a wonder. While the tithes and offerings are going around, we want to just have our announcements. And before we get into our video announcements, I just want to welcome each and every one of you. What a beautiful time in His presence. But especially those that are with us for the very first time. I don't want to embarrass you, but I'd like you to raise your hands so that we can honor you. so that we can bless you. Wonderful. We've got a lot of it. Please keep your hands up. We want to give you a card. Please fill in your details. Why? So that we can bless you. And I want you to take that card, and I want you to, at the end of the meeting, please give that card to the baristas at the coffee shop. That'll entitle you to a free cappuccino. Please, we want you to hang around with us. We want to get to know you. We value you. You are precious. And just before we get into, it's wonderful to have Stephen Pinks with us. Stephen, we haven't seen you for a long time. I bless you, brother. Hey, it's awesome, awesome to see you. Hey, is it Justin? Sorry, I thought it was Stephen. I thought it was Stephen. We're going to go into our announcement now. Thank you.
Good morning, Crossing Church. Thank you for your attention. We know you're desperate to get to the cafe to grab one of our world-renowned coffees, so we'll make it quick. Here's a look at our events taking place in the month of March. As you know, on the first Thursday of every month, we have our Hilltop Night of Prayer, so join us on the 3rd at 6:30. Between the 4th and the 6th, we have Bruce and Myra McAlpine coming to the Crossing for apostolic input. On the Friday night and Saturday morning, we have leadership training times with them, and on Sunday they will be ministering at our main morning meeting. If you wish to join the leadership training time, please put your name down on the clipboard at the info desk. You cannot afford to miss any of these valuable times with Bruce and Myra. On the 11th, we have our monthly men's meeting, Forge. Join us at 6 a.m. as we move into the second chapter of our current series, Sexual Detox.
I was waiting for something more to happen in that video. But actually, it just ends with that. When Jesus is alive, so what now? This. On Easter, we're going to have a brunch on the Friday morning. And so we'll let you know a bit more about that before the time. And so welcome anyone and everyone. A free meal at the church at, I think we're going to make it 10:30 or 10 o'clock that morning. I'll confirm. And just a time where we celebrate the death of Jesus. Then that Sunday is his resurrection. And that makes all the difference. If Jesus has died, we really wanted to say to the world, and the world have sometimes got this attitude, and those who don't believe that, okay, so if Jesus died and if Jesus rose again, what difference does it make? In fact, it makes all the difference. If he rose again, that's something we need to pay attention to. So bring your friends, bring family, bring your bosses, bring your servants, bring whoever. On that weekend, we want to see people get saved and hear the wonderful story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not just a story, but absolutely true. Amen. And then the weekend with Bruce McAlpine next week is going to be brilliant. The Friday night is for deacons and leaders, potential leaders, so it is an invitation basis on the Friday night, but the Saturday is open to everyone. I've asked Bruce to focus on the agape love of God. And he's in the past shared an amazing testimony of how he'd learned and understood more about the love of God. And so he's going to share that with us from 9:30 till about 12 o'clock on Saturday. So if you've got something on Saturday morning, next morning, cancel it and come along and enjoy the time with us. It's going to be great. And then Bruce is going to be ministering on the Sunday. So I want to preach this morning. Before I do, I want to read a little psalm, Psalm 45. Verse 1-7, and pray. Father God, I thank you once again for the wonderful privilege that you saved every one of us into, to come to know you, to love you, to be used by you for your glory, to reward you and to bless you. We want to please you in all that we do, Jesus. And so we thank you for your goodness towards us. You are the head of this church. You are the head of the nations. Jesus, you are in charge of everything. We are not calling you to come and bless what we are doing. We want to do what you are doing. And then we know it'll be blessed. And so, Lord, in all of our lives, we want to have this attitude. From here, from stepping out of here, into our homes, marriages, workplaces, parenting our children, whatever it is that we do, Jesus, help us to see you and to do what you're doing. We want to respond to your presence. I pray, God, by your Spirit, you would open up our hearts and lives. This morning, as your Spirit leads, there'll be things that I say that need to be forgotten. But there'll be things that you say that need to be remembered. And so I ask you for that to be powerfully evident here. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Great. So Psalm 45 verse 1 to 7 says this: my heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite my verses for the king. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. You are the most excellent of men, and your lips have been anointed with grace since God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword on your side, you mighty one. Clothe yourself with splendor and majesty. In your majesty, ride forth victoriously in the cause of truth, humility, and justice. And let your right hand achieve awesome deeds. Let your sharp arrows pierce the hearts of the king's enemies, and let the nations fall beneath your feet. Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be a scepter of your kingdom. And you love righteousness, you hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. Isn't that amazing? That was from the NIV. You probably saw the ESV. Anyway, the scriptures are clearly talking about Jesus. Folk, there are so many things that are going on in our world that would demand for us to respond. Am I right? There are so many things that are happening in South Africa right now that would demand for us to respond. There are so many things that are happening in the lives of the poor. There are so many things that are perhaps happening in your life, in your finances, in whatever's going on, that demands for us to respond. But I want to tell us here this morning that with all the themes and with all the stuff that goes on around the world and around your world and everywhere all the time, there's only one thing that needs to stir us, and there's one thing that we need to respond to, and that's Jesus Christ the King. Jesus Christ the King is the only one we need to respond to. If we run around trying to respond to everything that comes up, we will be like chickens with our heads lost. But if we respond to the one who saved us, to the one who's asked us to focus on him, if we focus on him and him alone, he will have the solution. He has the solution. He'll have the answer. He'll have the direction and the priorities for us that we need to focus on. If your first response when anything comes your way is to go to the king and ask him, what would you have me do, master? I tell you now, you'll live in peace, you'll live with righteousness, you'll live with humility, you'll live with so many good things that are taking place in and through your life, and I'm telling you, he will change the world with everything you do. We can get so concerned, what's going on in the world? And we want to change it, and we say, why is the church not doing this? And why are Christians not doing that? And why are they poor? And why are they needy? And why is there racism? And why is there this? And why is there that? Fuck, if we respond to all those things, we're going to run around tired in the flesh. But if we respond to Jesus, we're going to have power and strength in the Spirit. And that's where he wants us to go. I trust that this morning we would change our focus. The point of worshiping here is not so we can say nice things about God and then walk out the church and start saying all the bad things that the world is saying about the world. Hello? I must ask you for forgiveness, but some of you I have unfollowed on Facebook, amongst many others. Because as Christians, we cannot be those who simply echo the complaints of the world. We need to be those who echo the words of our God, because that's what the world needs. The world is looking to us. The world is looking for people who have a hope. The world is looking for someone who's got an answer, but they're looking in presidents' pulpits and they're looking in all kinds of places. I'm telling you now, folk, there's a king who rides forth victoriously on behalf of truth, humility, and justice, and his name is Jesus.
And the church's job is to preach that King, not to preach solutions to issues. Because there's only one solution, Jesus Christ. If you're in this church, you will only ever hear us preach Jesus Christ. You will only ever hear it. He is the salvation of everyone. And once we have that salvation, then we can start to ask Him what to do. And He will lead us into the things that we do. Because God has given you responsibilities in your home, in your business, in the government, all over the place. God has given you certain responsibilities. But if you are responding to the gospel and to the King Jesus, you're going to be an answer to those things in the places where you walk, in the places where you work, in the places where you love and do all the things that you do. If we're responding to His presence and to His gospel, we're going to have power. And God will change the world. God is changing the world. Do you know that? He's changing the world. And the only place where He's injected His power to change it is in the church. And so the church is not going to run around doing what the world wants it to do. The church is going to run doing what God wants it to do. As we listen to Him, we're going to start to see things change and happen all over. The stuff we're crying out for is answered when we focus on Jesus. We make Him our center. We make Him our attention. And this is something, folk, I'm going to touch on it as I preach, but stop responding to need and start responding to Jesus. Stop responding to pain and suffering and hurt and stop and start responding to Jesus. And when you see pain and when you see need and when you see suffering, say, Jesus, what do you want me to do here? And if He tells you to walk on, don't do anything else. Walk on. And if He tells you to help, don't walk on. Help. And if He asks us to do something, it's about being accountable to our Master. Isn't that amazing? If He says pray, pray. Stop everything else. If He says do, stop praying and do. We have to start responding to His presence. We can sometimes spiritualize so many things. But folk, if we're going to spiritualize anything, listen to what He's saying to us. And let's follow Him. And if He asks us to do something, let's do it. Jesus did it in His lifetime, folk. It says Jesus didn't say a single thing or do a single thing except that which His Father showed Him. And so we as the church need to do the same. We don't say anything or do anything except that which Jesus reveals to us. And when we do that, it's way more powerful than a collective effort by millions. It's way more powerful. Jesus on His own went to that cross and has saved the whole world. If we simply listen to Jesus on His own, folk, one of us can change the whole world. Do you believe that? Amen. Do you believe it? One person obedient to God, one person fully surrendered to God, would absolutely devastate all darkness. One person. And perhaps that person is you. And perhaps we need to surrender again and say, God, not what I want, not what my neighbor wants, but what do You want? And as we listen, we'll start to see things happen. There's no greater theme. So Galatians, where I really want to preach from. Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 to 29. And I'll show you the Bible is applicable to the things that we're going through. Jesus is applicable. As we focus on Jesus, we are going to get the answers for the solutions and for the problems and for all the things that are going on around us. I'm not unaware of what's happening in our country, nor is Jesus. We're not unaware of these things, folk. Let's listen to what he says. Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 to 29. Now, before faith came, and if there's a title to my sermon this morning, it's probably along those lines, before faith came. Before faith came. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian, like a babysitter, until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a babysitter, for we are in Christ Jesus. You are all sons of God through faith. Isn't that beautiful? For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So now there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. They're beautiful. So before faith came, how many of you can remember what it was like before faith came? How many of you can remember what it was like before you knew Jesus? How many of you can remember? I think sometimes it's good for us to remember. Egypt forgot. While they were in slavery, Israel forgot. While Israel was in slavery in Egypt, eating onions, leeks, and fish from the Nile, which could be good if you're very clever with your culinary skills, but it's not as great as what God has prepared for people. But leaky, oniony fish with slavery attached, okay, is what the Israelite people were experiencing. And God said, set my people free that they may worship me. And he pulls them out by a powerful arm. And with the breath of his nostrils, he breaks open the Red Sea. And through the work of Passover, which we're going to celebrate at Easter, the angel of death comes and knocks out everyone who hasn't got the blood of the lamb on the lintel posts. And everyone that's trusting in that and believing in that, just simply by having blood on the doorposts, is saved from the angel of death passing over. And they come out, and Egypt says, you've defeated us, no problem. God, take your people and get out. And God delivers mightily, and the people run out, and they cross the Red Sea, and the sea closes back over the Egyptian army, who think, wait, we want them back, all our slaves are going. And they get engulfed by the Red Sea, and Israel is set free, and they're going towards the Promised Land, and we know there's stories that happen. But while they're in the desert, they start complaining, and they say, oh, we wish we had it like before. Does that sound familiar? I want onions and leeks again. But we forget what it meant to have onions and leeks, because the onions and the leeks came with whips and chains and sweat and blood and no payment for any of it. Folk, God wants to set us free from that. Can you remember what it was like before faith? Ephesians 2 puts it like this. We're not going to go there, but I'll just tell you. It says we were Gentiles. A Gentile is somebody who does not have the presence of God. The distinction that Israel, the people of God, had from the rest of the world and from every other nation was quite simply this. God chose to presence himself with that people group. That's amazing. That's a privileged position. Would you agree? And so every other nation that didn't have that privileged position were considered Gentiles. They did not have the presence of God. What they had was immorality and idolatry. And so there's a big distinction between those who are with the presence of God and those who are without the presence of God. Because if you don't have the presence of God, you've got to go worship something. And if you're worshiping anything other than God, you're going to end up in immorality. So sin abounds. A Gentile was a stigmatized person rejected by God. The Israelites used to refer to the Gentiles as nothing. They'd been so contaminated by the Gentiles through the years that eventually they got to the point where they realized it's God or nothing. And so there was a stigmatized kind of comment that used to go forth often. We're not like those Gentiles. It's amazing. Uncircumcised. The Bible says, before we know and have faith, we're uncircumcised. So obviously that's talking about the time where Abraham was a believer in God, and God said to him, this will be the sign of the covenant. You will circumcise every son, and every male will be circumcised as a sign that you are in covenant with me. And so if you're a part of the uncircumcision were a people who had no covenant with God. No promises from God. No promises of protection, of provision, of just being with him. There's absolutely none of it whatsoever. That's what we were like, uncircumcised. And every dirty thing that goes with it was attached to our lives. But when you put your faith and your trust in God, the Bible talks about a circumcision of the heart. All the junk is cut away. And so we have this separated from Christ, it talks about in Ephesians 2. Can you remember what it was like to be separated from Christ? Folk, there's no middle ground. It's not a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of everything else. It's either Jesus or nothing. And so there was a time where we didn't have Jesus.
And if you don't have Jesus, you don't have the blood that was poured out for your forgiveness. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have access to the Father. If you don't have Jesus, man, I tell you, life is tough. Can you remember? Maybe some of you are in that place still right now. Perhaps today's the day that it all changes for you. But I remember that time. I remember being angry. I remember being selfish. I remember being all about my own feelings all the time. Lust and greed and pride. Full of it. And confused. And Jesus broke in and saved. Alienated, the Bible says, from the commonwealth. Strangers. Strangers to worship, strangers to the good things that God teaches, strangers to any blessing, strangers to any future, and strangers to the glory of God. Can you remember what it was like to be a stranger from all those things? No hope, only the expectation of death and judgment. Or you could try to twist the story and say you're going to come back as some eloquent animal. I don't know. They can't even speak. And it says, without God in this world. I don't know if there's anything worse, folk. I don't know what I would do without God in my life. I honestly, people say, oh, you've taken on a crutch, hey, Brad. You've got a crutch. I said, man, it's way more than that. It's like a stretcher. It's like, if I have a crutch, I've still got one leg to stand on. I've got no legs to stand on when it comes to the things of God. I need all of his help. I need everything that he's got. Can you remember what it was like to stand on shaky sand, sit on sinking sand, and now what it's like to stand on the rock? There's a big difference. Can we not forget what it was like? Can we please remember that Jesus died for us? Manny's preached to us was, do this in remembrance of me. Remember what Jesus has done for us. Remember when you pour out the blood and you break the bread and we have communion together. The whole point is because we forget so easily. We forget that we were alienated, pushed out, forgotten strangers, and God has brought us close. It's an amazing thing. Ephesians 2, verse 13 to 22. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of the commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and he preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So now you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple. In him you are being built together into a dwelling place for God by his Spirit. Come on. That's for Jews and Gentiles. That's God taking those two very distinctly separated people groups on the face of the earth. Those who had the presence of God and those who didn't have the presence of God. And God saying, I've destroyed the wall. I've brought them all together through Jesus Christ, my Son. There is no more any separation. Now you're all a house in which my presence lives. Isn't that beautiful? A Jewish man died for me, a white Gentile in the southern tip of Africa. Let it sink in. And a Jewish man died for you. Maybe you're a black man or a black woman. It doesn't matter. He died for you, a Jewish man, so that you can be in the household of God. We were once strangers, but now we've been brought near. Indian colored, whatever the case may be, the dividing wall has been destroyed. And we are all children of God with his Spirit inside of us. Let the truth impact our actions, because the world is looking for something that we've got. Hello? I'm not preaching any, I'm just telling you what the scriptures say, and you're getting the picture. Am I right? Are we getting the picture? So are you in or are you out? There's a clear distinction between those who are in Christ and those who are not. There's a very clear distinction. I can't tell you how amazing the day was when Sharissa and I got letters from the Department of Social Development that stated their names, and it said, they are deemed born to you, and you are their parents. That letter is a declaration. Before, we were just babysitters. But now, we are their mother and their father. It says they're deemed born to us. Isn't that awesome? But it doesn't take away the distinction completely. Let me just help us a little bit here. Because I'm not trying to paint a picture where we're all gray. You know what? I've seen what happens when Ethan and Bethany take clay. And you have a red color, and you have a blue color, and you have a yellow color. And all of a sudden, at some point, when you ask them, where's the clay? It's like this purpley, gray, green color. Because it's all been mixed together. Amen? Jesus does not want us to be so mixed together that we don't see any color. And I want to show us this morning. Because I'm not a fool. I'm not colorblind. I'm white. And my children are black. But you know what? Jesus has taught me that distinction in him means nothing. In the world, it's something. But I love white, and I love black, and I love Indian. Somebody put on my Facebook post, what about the brown? I love the brown. But we missed the browns. Yeah, there we go. And I thank God for the Department of Social Development. Father God, bless that department. Their calling is to bring a better life to the poor, the vulnerable, and the excluded. Isn't that what Jesus does? Isn't that what the church needs to do? To bring a better life to the poor, the vulnerable, and the excluded. Because we were poor when we didn't know God. And he came and he gave us a better life. We were vulnerable. And he strengthened us. We were excluded. Strangers, foreigners, and what has God done? Brought us near. We wouldn't have adopted if God didn't adopt us into his family. That's why we want to do it. But also, there's so many other good things in it. It's not just to be theological. I mean, it's incredible what God's done there. He wants to do more and more of those things. But it's for us as a church to live it out. So, remember the days before faith came. That scripture says, let's put on Christ through our baptism. We're having a baptism here a little bit later. Baptism is a powerful thing. If you haven't been baptized, I encourage you today to get baptized. Today. Many times when we ask people, do you want to get baptized? Mostly, okay, if I had to ask you, if you've not been baptized, and I say, would you get baptized today? I already know what you're thinking. Because I've heard it so many times. You're thinking these words, I'm not quite ready. I just want to sort some things out. If you have that attitude of not being ready and sorting things out, then you do not need Jesus. Then never get baptized. The point of being baptized is that you need Jesus to sort things out. You cannot sort him out. If you try to sort it out, you don't need Christ. But if you're going to get baptized, you're saying, Lord, I'm giving you myself. Help me sort my life out. And you know what he does? He witnesses with you. He says, I'm going to consider your life that you're trying to sort out. I'm going to take that thing and kill it. With me, on the cross, down in the water we go. But my life, which is sorted out, is powerful and resurrected. And as you come up out of the water, I'm going to give you that. Who wants that? Who wants their life to be sorted out? The most responsible way for your life to be sorted out is to put it in the hands who died and rose again. That's what baptism is. Who needs to get baptized today? Now, show me your hands. You don't need to change clothes, all these things. Just put on Christ. You can take off your clothes, put on Christ, we won't look. Even if you walk out here wet, the world will know something's happened to this person. Right, so there's a distinction that says this, Galatians 3, verse 27 to 28. We were saying that, for as many of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Therefore, there is neither
Jew or Greek, there is neither slave or free, there is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So there's a distinction that's removed, but there's a distinction that remains. Can I say that? There's a distinction that's removed, but there's a distinction that remains. The distinction that's removed is us in our worldly thinking trying to value more people more than other people. That thing is removed. You cannot say, I value men more than I value women. If it's removed, we value all men and women. You cannot say, I value the Jews, but I don't value the Gentiles. If you're in Christ and you've put on Christ, you value everyone the same. You remember that you were lost, so therefore you can value the lost. Because Jesus valued the lost enough to die for them to be here today. You were part of the lost, now you're not anymore. Because he valued you. Somebody valued you enough to pray for you and to tell you the gospel. Sometimes people have only told the gospel to the people that they in their hearts value more than others. Let's kill that thing, please. Let's share the gospel with everyone because we value everyone. That distinction has to be removed. But there's still a distinction. There's still a male and a female. Hello? There's a confusion in our world that there's no problem with sex anymore. In fact, if your little boy is having a hormonal day and he wants to go to the girls' toilets, you can't stop him. That's nonsense, folk. That distinction hasn't been removed. A boy is a boy and a girl is a girl. Hello? If I'm a man and I'm a husband to my wife, at no point am I going to ask my wife to be a husband to me. She's my wife. At no point am I going to expect her to provide for me, to protect me, to set the spiritual example in the home for me and do all the kind of things that a man needs to do for his wife. Hello? Let's get back to what the Bible says. There is a distinction. There's no more male and female as far as value, but there's definitely male and female as far as role, responsibility, and the way we relate. Amen. Women relate differently to men. Let's keep the distinctions. Guys, rise up as guys and stop being pupfromenser. Hello? Myself included. Ladies, stop trying to take control of everything and let the man rise up and do it. Maybe you have to put a little fire under the backside, but let him lead and follow and support and encourage and back and bring all of your intellect and all of your wisdom and all of the intuition that God has blessed you with, which the guy doesn't have because he's dwarf sometimes. Bring it all to support a team that's going to work. Hello? Discipline in the home. I've been reading some funny things on Facebook. Anyway, I don't want to go there. But like, I was reading this one where it says, there was a time where parents told their kids what to do. But now, the kids are telling their parents what to do. You know, there's sometimes a line that needs to be drawn between who's the parent and who's the child. And sometimes that line is with a rod. And sometimes the line is not drawn in the ground, it's on the backside. Yikes, I said it. The Bible says it. And it's focused discipline. And yes, we have to be careful how we do it. Some people are a bit too authoritative and it can be dangerous. I think I can fall into that category. Some people are too, they abdicate it all the time. So there's never any time where it comes out and our children are starting to rule the house, rule everything, whatever. Folk, are you going to respond to your children or are you going to respond to Jesus? Do you want to go to church today, little guy? No, daddy. Okay, little guy. No, my boy, this house doesn't revolve around you. This house revolves around Jesus. And for you to have a good life, I would hate for everyone to see that I've raised you thinking it's all about you. I want you to know that it's all about Jesus. Come with me. Let's do it together. Amen. Something like that. I'm just trying to paint the picture. So regarding this distinction, I want to show you something. Mark chapter 7, verse 24 to 30. So if we've got to put on Christ, then let's look at Christ and see what Christ did, and let's focus on him when it comes to dealing with people of different race or people of different culture or whatever the case may be. And this story is particularly controversial. And so I like those kinds of stories. Mark 7, verse 24 to 30. The Syrophoenician woman, a Greek woman, a Gentile.
And from there, he arose and he went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. So when it says that he went away, he's leaving the Jewish nation and he's going across to Tyre and Sidon, which was like a quarter where the Hellenists or the Greeks were staying. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. I mean, you can't hide Jesus. Some of you are very good at hiding Jesus. Don't be good at hiding Jesus. Let Jesus come out. Don't put Jesus in a box. I've heard many times someone said, so-and-so comes to my church. You know, and they're like, what, really? Are they Christian? I say, wow. I hope they would have shown you that they were or told you that they were. I mean, sometimes, anyway, immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Whoa. Did Jesus say that? But she answered him, yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And he said to her, for this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. And when she went home, she found that her child was lying in bed and the demon gone. How wonderful is that? This woman had incredible faith. Jesus is not calling Gentiles dogs, okay? He's using an understanding, a parable of the time, to show that his priority is certain things and not other things. So when he talks about the bread, he's talking about the message. When he's talking about the children, he's talking about the Jewish people. That's who he's actually come to stir again, to understand that the promises of God are for them and they need to be doing what God has asked them to do for the Gentiles to have the gospel. Hello? The Jews had kept it to themselves. The Gentiles were waiting for the Jews to bring the message of God. Jesus is showing how bad the situation had come. The Jews hated the Gentiles, which is not what God intended. God had always intended that his love poured out into the Jewish people would be a love which permeates the Gentiles. But they were keeping it to themselves. This is what can happen today, folk. We can have the goodness, the gospel, the glory, the grace, and everything else that starts with a G that's lacquer, and it comes to us, but we keep it to ourselves. Don't keep it to yourself. And he says, I've come to speak to the Jewish people, and he's not calling the Gentiles dogs, he's just using it as a parable. Please, you understand? I know that when Sharissa looks after me, she makes me food, she makes the kids food, and then the dogs get the dog food. Even though our dogs are looked after probably better than some nations, those three Yorkies are blessed, but there's a priority. She loves me. She's been preparing the food a lot longer for me than she does for the Yorkies. It stays like that, babe, you know. And so, Jesus just showing this. But he's testing the woman too. He's testing to see whether she'll believe and respond to him in faith. And so she says something incredible. She says, if I just had a crumb from the loaf that you're giving the Jews, if I had a crumb, which is an indictment on the Jewish people. The Jewish people should have been sharing the crumbs. If I just had a crumb, I know my daughter would be completely healed. He says, this is faith. That is faith. You know, you just need a mustard seed of faith, folk. You don't need to, God doesn't have to do this huge thing for you to be set free. He can just do the crumb, and it's enough to send demons flying. And so she believes in Jesus. She puts her trust in Jesus, and he sees her faith. And this again, it's her being led by the presence of Jesus. She wants the presence of Jesus. He sees that she's responding to him. And he doesn't respond to the need. He responds to the faith and meets the need. Folk, can we respond to him in faith? He'll meet the need. Jesus shows us that he's primarily concerned with the Jews. Now look how he speaks to the Jews. Because in case you think the Jews get off lightly, look at this. John chapter 8 verse 31 to 47. The truth will set you free. How many of you know that scripture? And we like to claim it. The truth will set us free, yes. But he's speaking to the Jews. Look at this. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word,
and you truly are my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are the offspring of Abraham, and we've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you can say you will become free? Bit of arrogance there. Jesus answers them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever, but the son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you are free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I've seen with my father, and you do what you've heard from your father. And they answered him, Abraham's our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works of your father did. They said to him, we are not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. And I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. I mean, that's Jesus talking, right? He just says, you're all children of Satan, right there. And he's telling the truth. You are the father of the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks out of his own character, his native language. He is the liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Wow. The Jewish people. That is hectic, folk. So the issue is not whether you are this people or that people. The issue is whether you're a son and whether you believe in him. And if you believe in him, that makes you more a Jew than a Jew. It makes you a son. And that's what makes you adopted. And that's what puts you in that place. Folk, it's not about black, white, this, that. It's are you in Christ? There's two kinds of people in this world. Those that believe in Jesus and those that don't believe in Jesus. And those that do believe in Jesus are saved. Those that do not believe in Jesus are not saved. Even though they can have Abraham as their father and they can quote the word God. It's Jesus Christ, folk. And if we believe in Jesus, we've got to remember that there was a time when we didn't believe in Jesus. And that we've got a responsibility and an obligation as sons with an inheritance, as daughters with an inheritance, to go and at least share some crumbs with the Gentiles. With those who don't know him. Slave or free, he says there's no difference between slave or free. Sometimes we need to also see this. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not some socialist thing where we all need to pool our money together and everybody gets exactly the same amount. You know what? There will always be rich people because there will always be poor people. There'll be some people that are given more of a trust by God than others. There are some people that will have less, and there's some people that will have more. But folk, it's about being accountable with what you have. If you're rich, God has some commands for you. Give. If you're poor, God has some commands for you. Trust. If you're a slave, if you're an employee, if you're a servant, God's got some commands for you. Do everything you do as if you're doing it for your master in heaven, Jesus, not your boss. If you're a boss, remember this, that you have a boss. And his name is Jesus. And the way he treats his people is the way you as a boss need to treat yours. And he's watching. Because if you're unfair and you don't pay on time and you do certain things which indicate that you have a different value for certain people on your staff, God is watching and he sees. There will be slave, there will be free. There will be Jew, there will be Greek. There will be different nations and there will be male and there will be female. Do you know, I just want to quickly ask you this. We're nearly done. Do you know what the sin of Sodom was? Before you get any images in your mind, that was not what you think it was. The sin of Sodom, Ezekiel 16 verse 49 to 50 says this. Behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had pride, excess of food, prosperous ease,
but did not aid the poor and the needy. They were haughty, and they did an abomination before me, so I removed them when I saw it. Hello? Is it what you thought it was? No. That's probably what they were doing as a result of this. But God saw this. We're living in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah again, folk, when we're proud, when we say, my race is better than yours, when we're rich and we enjoy it for ourselves and we don't give, when we push away the poor. You know, when I've been noticing people walking on the side of the road, people begging, people with blue collars blue collar workers without the money to even pay for taxis, walking around. And folk, that is the image of God. That is a valuable person, more valuable than me, if I can put it that way. God loves them. God wants to reach them. And I will be accountable for what I have. They will be accountable for what they have and for what they do with what they get. But let's stop pointing fingers all the time. Let's be a people that reach out, that help. Let's not be accused of what Sodom did. This world is going there very quickly. The sins of Sodom and the ones we thought are just the outworking of the fruit of pride and no care for one another. Let's care for one another. Can I encourage us? Oh Lord, I want to pray for us, Father God. Lord, I pray that we would stop responding to need, but we would ask, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? So that we can respond to Jesus. When a beggar comes, let's not just ask the beggar what he wants, but let's ask Jesus what he wants for the beggar. And if Jesus says give, we give. If Jesus says pray, we pray. If Jesus says do, we do. If Jesus says make it your life goal to change the laws of our land, then do it. Whatever it is, we need to see Jesus in what's going on around us. I pray for us, God, that we would recognize that there is distinction, but God has called us to embrace it. God has called us to love one another. The nose can't say to the kidney, I don't need you. The kidney can't say to the foot, I don't need you. The hand can't say to the ear, I don't need you. And some of us think that if we didn't have certain people or certain groups or certain people with philosophies and certain things, that we'd all be a lot better. Because we can't say, I don't need you. We all need each other. We all need the gifts and the abilities that God's given. God has gifted some people more than others. We all need each other. And if one hurts, we all hurt. And if one rejoices, we all rejoice. I pray, God, help us to see. You ride forth victoriously on behalf of truth, and we're hearing your truth this morning, Jesus. You also ride forth victoriously on behalf of humility and meekness. And God, I pray for us, the only thing that would make us recognize our brothers better than ourselves and to have some kind of attitude adjustment is to see you, Jesus, the one who became humble, who laid down his life for every one of us. If we can have the same attitude as you, Jesus, please, it would help us to bring unity. I pray for us as a church that for some white people, yeah, we need to start to open our ears and listen to what black people have gone through. I mean that. For some black people, yeah, we need to listen as well to what Jesus is saying to us. I pray, Lord God, that in this church, we would be a people who want to learn from each other, learn each other's cultures, learn each other's languages, learn each other's ways. I pray for us, Lord, as a church, by the Spirit of God, that you would open our hearts, that we wouldn't be so favoritist and so separated unto our own kind. Maybe there's some people that support parties of other government parties because they think it's the best thing for them. They're not doing it because they want to hurt everyone. And I pray for us, Lord, that we would open our hearts, open our ears, have conversations, but we would talk little and listen more. I pray for us, God, If there's anyone in this church that has got issues with racism, that today it would stop. Today, Jesus, you would pull it out of our hearts, destroy it. And maybe we need to get baptized again because, Jesus, you love them all. Now pray for us, God. Jesus, that you would stir our hearts with a love for all people. That our dinner tables wouldn't just have the same kinds of people as ourselves. But that our dinner tables would have the rich, the poor, the Jew, the Gentile, whoever. People that are battling with male-female issues. Bring them in. Talk to them. Give them Jesus. Love them. Help them. There's prostitutes. There's messed up people. There's gamblers. There's murderers. There's pedophiles that need Jesus. I pray, God, make us a people that would reach out. Let us not keep the crumbs to ourselves. I pray, Holy Spirit, teach us to open not just our hearts and our ears, but our hands. Lord, would you come and ride forth victoriously on behalf of truth, humility, and justice. And Lord, ultimately, we're not trying to reconcile man to man. We're not trying to reconcile people group to people group. We need to reconcile all men to God. And when people are reconciled to God, it'll happen. I pray for us, Jesus, as a church, Holy Spirit. And if you want to be a part of this, would you stand? It's a Holy Spirit. Come upon us. Forgive us, Lord, where we've been arrogant and we've perpetuated the problem. Forgive us, Lord, where we cry racism, but we have no justice. Forgive us, Lord, where we pray for peace and everything just to return back to normal, but we don't do anything about it. I pray, Holy Spirit, where we criticize the needy, but we don't respond to the presence of Jesus. I pray, God, for us, that the way we treat our staff, the way we treat our cleaners and our gardeners, God, with fairness, as human beings who need God. We want them to do a job, but we never give them the gospel. I pray we would change our attitude towards everyone that's over us and everyone that's under us and everyone that's around us. I pray, God, we would have you. We want to be clothed in Christ. When we look around, we don't want to force the distinction when it suits us. But Lord God, if we see the distinction, we want to be like you. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray. Come, Lord. Let us not act like the days before faith came. If we're a people of faith, let us be a people of action. If we're a people of faith, let us be a people of justice. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive our nation. Forgive this country. Forgive our leaders. Forgive us, God. But help us to understand what it is that we need forgiveness for. I just want to share something quickly. Folk, the genocide in Rwanda, where 1 million people were killed over 100 days. That means, imagine a rugby match with 10,000 people. That's 10,000 people for 3 months, every day, being cut to pieces. Genocide. And you know what brought about that genocide? The Belgians under King Leopold came into that nation and they made a distinction between people. And they literally measured the length of people's noses. And they went, Tutsi, Hutu. Tutsi, Tutsi, Hutu. Hutu, Hutu, Hutu. Based on your nose. And they separated it 15% to 85% and they gave all the favor they could give. All the good stuff, all the education, all the opportunities to the 15%. And divided and conquered a nation like that. When the independence came and the Hutus rose up, they said, we are the majority and we will wipe out those cockroaches off the face of the earth. That's what they called them. And the genocide started. One of the worst the world has seen, but not the worst. And the whole murderous spirit was based on separating people, one person thinking he's more important than another. If we want genocide folk, let's start comparing people and determining which are more important than others. There's a genocide that took place that is worse than all. There was a genocide on the cross where the holiest of men was murdered so that every one of us could be united. That's who we worship, folk. Let's get rid of the distinction that hurts and kills. And let's look to Him. We're not more special than another people group, folk. You're not more important. Can we see superiority broken in our nation? Can we see inferiority broken in our nation? There's no superior in Christ. Christ is superior. And there's no inferiority in Christ. You're not worthless if you're in Christ.
Jesus, Jesus.
Amen. Lord, let's let His presence come, folk. Let Him do His work, Jesus.
Jesus,
yes, Lord,
Jesus,
yes, Lord.
Jesus, cover me with Your blood.
Oh, God.
Open.
If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, and you want to be included, you felt like a stranger from God, you felt separated from God, today He wants to make you whole. Today, faith has come. There's been days where you haven't had faith. Today, that faith comes. If you're here today, you put up your hand, you say, that's me, Brad. I want to believe in Jesus. I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want to get baptized right now. My old life, the life I'm trying to sort out, I can't sort it out. I want to give it to Jesus. Is there anyone here who wants to put their faith in Jesus? Anyone? You're valuable. You're loved by God. Is there anyone here? Raise your hand up high so I can see you. Anyone? Today you can say, I remember the days yesterday when I didn't have faith, but today I've got faith in Jesus. Is there anyone? No. You know what? We should be having hands going up. Am I right? If we're the church, let's go get them. Let's bring them to Easter. Let's do whatever we can, folk. You don't have to Bible bash people. You just have to love them. You just have to value them enough to be in the kingdom. Can we be a people with the Spirit of God in us who start to respond to Jesus when the lost are around us? Because perhaps guys are going to get saved. Can we do that? Thank You, Lord. Father, thank You, Lord. I pray Your blessing over us, Lord. May we go from here today with a new resolve in our hearts, knowing that You are the answer, but that we need to respond to You to be an active answer in this earth. South Africa needs You, Jesus. Joburg needs You, Jesus. The person that I'm close to needs You, Jesus. So I pray, Lord God, send us out. Send us out, Lord, with the bread that they need to eat. Send us out. Send us out with an attitude of sensitivity towards You. Send us out with an openness towards other races. Send us out, Lord, as Your church, for Your people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you, folk. Have a cup of coffee with us.